Today, is it worth reviving State of Origin AFL style? Fremantle appoints a new AFLW coach and our tips for round 12.
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is!
The stadium holds its breath!
It's Duff and Quarters!
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Thursday morning, so it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. With me in the studio, I have Glenn Quatermain, the very earnest sports editor of the Sunday Times newspaper. I'm Mark Duffield, the senior football writer of the West Australian newspaper. Quarters, State of Origin. Did you watch it?
Tail between my legs this morning. I'm a Victorian, therefore I'm nominally a Queenslander. Because we can't back for New South if you're a Victorian. So I've always followed Queensland. Love them. I thought they had a red-hot crack, but obviously with the outs, it was a terrific game. They're always great games. Well done. New South Wales deserve to win it. And I think they've got their work cut out from now. Queensland, great spectacle, 80,000 at the G. I've watched Origin at the G. Not a great venue to watch that code. But the atmosphere was great. And, I'm looking forward to it coming over here too. I love Origin.
Next year, isn't it?
Yep.
2019. So I'll be interested to see how they configure the ground and what that means for capacity, because I think they can squeeze another 5,000 seats into the rectangular format. So we could be looking at a crowd of about 65,000 when it comes here.
So when the NRL was there in round one, I believe there were some issues with one side of it was too far.
Yeah.
And the other side was okay. So I'd like to see more seats on the ground. It becomes more of a rectangular stadium. It's a good venue for it. And, you know, you've just got to love Origin. You've got to love it. Always begs the question this time of year, should the AFL have Origin? Of course. I'm not sure where I sit on that one. I tend to waver on that one. But, long live State of Origin, you know, in terms of rugby league.
Well, the thing that amazes me, and I was talking about this to our great producer Nick before we went on air, when those monsters start running at each other from about 30 metres away, one, the bloke who's running, I can't believe what he's thinking while he's running, and two, the bloke standing there stationary waiting for him to get there, I can't believe what they're thinking either. You can hear, now that the TV sound effects are better, you can actually hear the bones crack when they hit each other, and it's just... I mean, it's almost frightening to listen to. They are, in their own way, they are absolutely incredible athletes. I barrack for New South Wales.
Yep.
I would normally barrack for Queensland, but I think I come from a small country town. I have the underdog sort of bred into me, and I think Queensland have won for so long that I would like to see that change. And I thought that the fact that... new coach with Freddie Fittler in charge, and they went so young and they were so bold. I think a well-deserved win.
So it was Queensland. Good full credit to them. They had a lot of experience and they had a crack. Just outplayed on the night. You know, the interesting thing I always find about Origin is, you know, our AFL players always complain about six-day breaks. Some of these boys front up again 3 days later after an Origin game, and they must be so sore. So that's what you call a short break, I reckon, in my terms. Interesting, I was watching an old WA Vic AFL State of Origin game yesterday.
Last night?
Yeah. Yep. And the one incident that caught my eye was Gazza Senior running full. He's dodged around about three opponents, and he's just tapping the footy on the ground, gets the footy in his hands, running at full pelt, whoosher. Bang! Both of them running at full pelt towards each other. And you know what? Both just got up and walked away.
I reckon that was 1993 at the MCG.
Yeah. Jeez, they hit each other hard, I can tell you. And Wisher, you know, it was just terrific. And they just got up, dusted themselves off and got on with the job.
Yeah, Wisher would have been disappointed about that. He was used to players laying down after he'd run into them.
Well, he got up too. Like when Gaz hit you, he hit you, don't worry.
Let's get some tips out of the way. We'll come back to State of Origin because we've had a really good tweet from a guy who I see regularly on Twitter and who's one of the more intelligent tweeters going around. So we'll come back to that. But let's get on to round 12.
Round 12, Friday night, Adelaide Oval, Port v Richmond. Port just going at the moment, and this is the first of three prime time standalone games for them. So I think they got Friday, Thursday, Friday, 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
So they'll be up and about. A lot of players out of form there. Against a Richmond side that I think really was wavering a little bit but still winning, but last week against Essendon, I think we saw the real Richmond stand up.
Mm.
Have been sort of indifferent travellers to Adelaide in recent years.
Yeah, they don't like the ground that much.
But there's so many players there in pretty good nick. I'm going to pick Richmond to win this one.
I'm going to go with Port, and the reason I'm going to go with Port is it actually points to, I think, one of their weaknesses. Port, to me, is a team that needs to manufacture emotion to play its best footy. You know how some great teams just roll out performances, like the Hawthorn teams in that dynasty.
Yep.
Even when they're a bit flat, they could get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were very functionally sound. They could roll out a performance, and still manage to win the game. I don't think Port Adelaide can do that. I think that they need to manufacture emotion. I think they will for this, like they did in the showdown when they beat Adelaide. I think they'll get up for this. And then I'll be interested to see whether they can do that for these next 2 weeks, which are all obviously big games for them.
Well, seeing as though you've picked them, you'll be pleased to know that I believe Dusty's out of that game.
Yeah, well, that makes me feel
a lot better.
Dusty's been battling a bit of a hip complaint for some time. Is that what's
makes me is feel that a little less, is that less comfortable about my tip too? But I'm still going with Richmond. You were talking about the Hawthorns of that great era where they could just roll out performances even when they're flat. That's what I believe. That's the level I believe Richmond's at now.
Yeah,
I reckon they can turn up and roll out a performance when they're a little bit flat and win.
I've got no doubt Richmond will be Richmond.
Yeah.
And I'll be very surprised if I'm disappointed by what Richmond brings to this game. I think Port Adelaide, on the other hand, will draw into that emotional reservoir that they have. But my problem with Port Adelaide is when that reservoir runs dry, they can't just go out and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Then they produce a performance which produces a loss when it should be a win, which was probably what happened in Launceston last weekend.
Maybe they can sing Never Tear Us Apart at halftime as well.
Oh, maybe during play.
Oh, yeah, please. that great Adelaide band In Excess.
So we're split on that one. I'm Port, you're Richmond.
Yes. On to Saturday, GMHBA Stadium. A really interesting game this, Geelong v North Melbourne.
Can we just call it Cadinia Park?
Yes. Let's call it Cadinia Park. I lived there. I lived in two different places around that stadium, so I know it really well.
I heard you lived near Cadinia Park. You stayed in a lot of places around Geelong.
Yes, I did. Yes. But I had two houses just on Cadinia Park. I love the precinct. Geelong v North, right north off at your peril. Having said that, it's a venue tip. I'm picking the Cats. First time last week, I think we had Ablett, Selwood. We had Ablett, Selwood, Dangerfield, and all over 100 rankings points. So all gelling together.
Yeah, Duncan?
Duncan as well, yeah. So that's pretty formidable. There's always a question mark at both ends for Geelong, but their defence is sort of settling in. Still question marks over that attack, but when you've got a midfield like that, it is a home game. I'm prepared to pick Geelong over a really just solid, confident, and just reliable North Melbourne this year.
Yeah, I reckon the ground shape is always a factor at Geelong. And if you look at where North Melbourne plays, they play a lot of footy at Etihad, which is not disastrous as far as Cadinia Park goes because Etihad has not the biggest ground going around, but it is long and thin.
Yeah.
It means that the territory game is really important. That could count a little bit in North Melbourne's favour because one of Geelong's biggest issues here is the ruck. It continues to be the ruck.
Yep.
North have a very good ruckman.
They do, and he's back in form this year too, Goldstein. Yeah. So, that is one area. That is one area.
And Geelong, a lot of weeks have struggled in the clearance numbers because of that. And if North get field position on them and can structure up properly behind the ball, I think they're a big chance. But as you say, when you go to Cadinia Park, it's inevitably or invariably a venue tip, and I'll be tipping the home team to win again down there.
You can always go and have a beer at Clatworthy's after the game, which is the opposite, the other side, Moorabool Street side, and then the Latrobe Terrace, I think it is the other side.
It's Ross Lyon, Ross Lyon used to have a saying back when he was winning, just fly in, fly out and bank the 4 points. I never stayed too long in Geelong.
You know, we used to, when the great Teddy Whitten was doing commentary for 3GL, we used to have one game a year. It was called the Windsock Club. And we'd all go and stand under the windsock. Ian Cover was a member of the of this group. And of course, we'd have a couple of quieties, and but we'd have breakfast and have a couple of quieties before, and Teddy would come and give us a State of Origin type rev up. And then after the game, we'd walk across the ground towards the 3GL commentary box, which was an old wooden box where you could open the window, and we'd stand in the middle of the ground and start doing the Teddy, 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 and he'd lean out of the box, good on you, boys! And then we'd go to Clapworthy's, and he'd often pop in afterwards for a quiet one on his way home. So great days, great days. So we're both picking Geelong?
We're both picking Geelong. I remember Waverley quarters when the radio commentary boxes were right behind the press box, and they were just behind a glass visor. So you could pretty much hear everything the radio commentators were saying. And and Teddy came out with one of the great lines when we were out there one typically windy and wintry day at Waverley. And someone was shooting for goal, and he says, he's about 35 metres out, and the wind is right up his clacker at about 40 miles an hour.
Ah, Teddy, Teddy. There's only one Teddy. Great man. On to GWS v Gold Coast Spotless Stadium. 96 tackles against the Crows GWS. Found some form. My question mark or my asterisk next to them is why did it take them so long to find that sort of tackling ferocity?
Yep.
Josh Kelly's sort of settling in now 2 to 3 weeks back, and, you know, a lot to like about that midfield. They'll be even better when Toby Green gets back. Gold Coast, geez. They were pathetic last week, and as we discussed earlier in the week, just can't seem to play four quarters, so it may be a fitness issue. Tom Lynch v Phil Davis will be maybe a contest worth going to watch alone in that game, but I think it'll be GWS comfortably.
Well, you've got a vulnerable midfield versus one of the great midfields, haven't you? Mind you, with GWS, their job is just to win this, isn't it? It's, you know, there'll be bigger fish to fry for them later on. The main thing is they don't drop the ball here. So I wouldn't be surprised if they muddle through a little bit and maybe try and get their function and process right as opposed to worry too much about what's going on the scoreboard. You cannot recommend Gold Coast after what we saw last week. And it's looking more and more like Tom Lynch leaves despite what will probably be the best endeavours of the AFL. And you have to have real fears for this football club if that happens.
If they're ahead at half time by any sort of comfortable margin, they won't be losing because they averaged 39 points the last 2 weeks, Gold Coast, and in the last two final terms have kicked a combined one behind Gold Coast. So that shows you how they're going.
Yeah, that's a worry.
It's a real worry.
That's a worry, and that does point to fitness. I just reckon the way they look points to fitness.
Yep.
They don't look as hard and as cut and as AFL hardened as other teams do. So I just wonder what they're doing in their pre-seasons and in their strength and conditioning that leads them to have that look about them. GWS comfortably, quarters.
St Kilda v Sydney Etihad Stadium. Interesting game this. Was St Kilda's form in the last quarter something to look at, or was it just the Eagles taking their foot off the pedal against the Sydney side? Won their last 8 against the Saints and 5 of those by more than 50 points. So they have got the wood on them. And they've won really good record at Docklands too, Sydney. So that's certainly a venue they don't fear. I'm going to pick Sydney to win this one. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a pretty close affair. Membry finding some form. Jack Stevens hasn't done much wrong this year. But Geary's a big out for St Kilda as well, I think.
Yeah, Seb Ross was really important to them last week. I probably sold him a bit short in my votes. I left him out of my votes when he was probably the third or fourth best player on the ground. I think they'll take a lot of heart out of the last quarter against West Coast. I don't think West Coast will take too much concern out of it. West Coast will feel like they dropped off. One thing I did like, quarters, about St Kilda in that last quarter,
mm-hmm.
Tom Hickey's last quarter. I thought most opposition ruckmen have been outgunned and outnumbered by Nat Nui and Lysette. Hickey actually ran the game out stronger than the two Eagles ruckmen.
Mm-hmm.
And was jumping over the top of them towards the end. I think he had 6 last quarter possessions. He had something like 3 or 4 last quarter clearances and was instrumental to St Kilda getting the run on. So they were good signs for him, good signs for Seb Ross. Great to see Tim Membry kicking straight. He's never been playing badly.
Yeah, he's just not been kicking straight.
He's just not been converting. So great to see that happening. And I hope the Saints can give a yelp, but I'll be going with the Swans.
Sunday, Brisbane v Essendon at the Gabba. Really interesting game, this one. Charlie Cameron, Mitch Robinson, perhaps Alan Christensen, big outs for Brisbane. But I seriously considered tipping Brisbane in this game. I think Essendon are without Zaharakis and Fantasia. The worst first quarter team Brisbane against the worst third quarter team Essendon.
So if you want a contest, look at the second quarter.
That's right, or the last. Interesting that I'm thought about tipping against Essendon when Brisbane's without Cameron, Robinson and perhaps Christensen.
Mm.
That's probably an indictment on Essendon. Terrific for 2 weeks, but who did they beat? And I think they found their level against Richmond last week. I'm picking Essendon, but not with a huge amount of confidence.
I'm going to go with the Lions here. And I know it's a risk, and I'll be kicking myself if I'm wrong. I just like what I'm seeing at Brisbane, and I'm a bit like you. I'm not convinced about Essendon too much. And I think Brisbane's form at the Gabba has been pretty solid. I think they'll give a yelp. I know that those outs are significant. I mean, they'll particularly miss Charlie Cameron. I think he gives them a real nip.
Been terrific this year, been great this year.
So I think that will be a big loss for them. But I don't know. I just think they will play well. And I'm not sure that Essendon will. Let's take a break from the tips.
Yep, good move.
Let's go on to, obviously, we don't play AFL State of Origin anymore, which I think you and I both agree is a shame, but I think we also agree it's probably never coming back.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. I think with the natural progression into the national competition signal the death knell of State of Origin.
Mm.
But I wouldn't mind seeing it, and it's just finding that window. I still think a week before the season's okay. I wouldn't mind seeing it happen. I don't think necessarily you have to muck around with these, with Queensland, New South Wales. I'd like to see WA, South Australia, Victoria play a week before the season. I'd love to see it. Really interesting at the moment. We've got some teams that we can name. Victoria v WA at the moment, Origin, it'd be a cracking game, but you'd probably favour WA.
I reckon WA wins. I think they definitely win if it's played here, and I think they'd... they'd go very, very close to winning if it was played at the MCG. So the guy that submitted these teams to us is a guy called Alex Paul. Tends to be quite a deep thinker about his footy. He's a very intelligent tweeter, as I mentioned earlier. He's not afraid to give you a clip if he thinks you're wrong, but he's also not afraid to stick up for you in the face of criticism if he thinks you're right. So Alex has picked his West Australian team, and it is as follows. From the back line, Neville Jetta of Melbourne, Alex Rance of Richmond, Ben Stratton of Hawthorn, halfbacks Elliot Yeo of West Coast, Jeremy McGovern of West Coast, and Brad Shepherd of West Coast. The centres, Mitch Duncan of Geelong, Tom Mitchell. Is Tom Mitchell a West Australian? We can talk
about
that.
Yes, he is.
Tom Mitchell of Hawthorn, Stephen Coniglio of GWS, half forward Sam Menegola of Geelong, Lance Franklin of Sydney, Jack Darling of West Coast. We'll need to talk about that one as well, because obviously Jack Darling is, if the game was played at the moment, unavailable. And forwards Jesse Hogan of Melbourne, Josh Kennedy of West Coast, Michael Walters of Fremantle, the rucks Nick Natanui of West Coast, Nathan Fife of Fremantle, Paddy Cripps of Carlton. And the interchange, Tim Kelly of Geelong, Jaeger O'Meara of Hawthorn, David Swallow of Gold Coast, Mark Lacroix of West Coast, Aaron Sandilands of Fremantle, and Jason Johannesson of the Western Bulldogs.
Well, I guess if it was played this weekend, Fife wouldn't be available either, but let's just rule injury. And I mean, the form's been there, so let's say Jack Darling and Fife are playing this week. I'll quickly go through his Victorian team. It's Stuart Tarrant Thompson from the back, Lloyd Sicily Whitfield, McRae Cochin Gaff, Sidebottom McDonald Dusty Martin, Caddy Cameron Gray, Gorn Dangerfield, and Oliver in the ruck, and the interchange Cunnington Smith Trelaw Higgins Tom Phillips and Pendlebury. Probably even find a spot for Tom Phillips in the starting side.
And Sean Higgins,
absolutely.
I think Sean Higgins is rapidly becoming the most underrated player in the competition. Paul Roos rated him top 10 in the competition after another stellar effort.
I think that's fair. That's fair, yep. And just an interesting one too from Joey Go Tigers Nikita, who suggested it's worth having Origin in Melbourne just to see people from Sydney and Brisbane trying to use trams. Well, Richmond supporters have got a history with trams too, we know that.
Yeah, well, exactly. And so do Richmond players, actually. Graham Pollock, sadly.
Yeah, oh, of course, yes. Can be dangerous. Yeah, look, I'd like to. I wouldn't mind seeing it, but probably not on an annual basis. Maybe even on a 2 or 4 year basis. I think.
I think if you're going to do it once every 4 years, means it's potentially a once in a career thing for a player.
Yeah,
and I suspect every player would like to tick it off as something that they have done. I don't see players fronting up to do it every year. So maybe have it a bit like, you know, soccer has the World Cup.
And make it worthwhile. Make it, but you know, it's an aspirational game. Great, rich rewards for playing in it and doing well in it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Alex has done a pretty good job with the WA team. The only one I would possibly put in there is Jack Martin from Gold Coast. I think while he hasn't got many teammates, I think he adds versatility and class. He can play midfield. He can play as a forward who plays well above his height. And he's a guy that would add something to that team. And given that Jack Darling wouldn't be available this weekend, I think Jack Martin would slot in very nicely there as a third marking target behind Josh Kennedy and Jesse Hogan in attack.
Yep, it's a good side. I think interestingly, we did a simulated game last year against Victoria.
And we won.
And we won. Oh, well, hang on. You won. I'm a Victorian. So the WA victory. But look, they were great days. They were great days. State of Origin. The time has passed for it to be annually, but yeah, I tend to agree with you, Duff. A 4 year event would be special.
It would, and it would be. And you know what? Maybe you could do, because we have to acknowledge that Victoria has the depth here. And so it may be that Victoria could rule a few out. And so maybe play. There's a State of Origin game every 2 years, but Western Australia and South Australia only get to play it every 4 years.
Yep.
So Victoria plays South Australia. And let's say in 2018, and then Victoria plays Western Australia in 2020. But South Australia after 2018 doesn't play again until 22,
gotcha.
And we don't play again until 24. We have a lot of players. We certainly had a lot of players in the 1990s who were just pulling out a lot of our best players, and it almost became an aberration for someone to opt in. I remember when Glenn Jakovich, who was a great fan of State of Origin and greatly committed to it, he looked like the odd man out amongst the very good West Australian players at times in the 1990s.
Yeah, that was his first year, wasn't it? He went from
18s to Waffle.
To AFL to State of Origin.
Yeah.
It was what an amazing year. We forget how good that year was, what an effort that was from Jakovich.
Yeah, he was probably a token selection in the State of Origin team, but for any player in 1 year to play 18s, interstate incredible. Second-tier footy, i.e. for the Waffle state team, and then for the WA State of Origin team, that I think that will be a unique achievement in history, I think, Glenn.
It will be. Just before we get back onto the final two games to tip, congratulations, Trent Cooper was named Fremantle's new AFLW coach earlier today.
Yep.
Progresses from the WA 18 women's team, background with Swan Districts and in the trotting industry. So I think it now leaves, there's no women coaching AFLW sides now. So that's an interesting move.
But it is an interesting move, and probably what the AFL needs to do. They run these courses for young assistant coaches to try and create a roadmap for clubs to pick the next great senior coach. They probably should be doing the same thing for women, where there's level 2, level 3, level 4 accreditation courses, so that we shouldn't not have women as coaches of AFLW team, but they should be able to be picked on merit and not because you need a woman coaching a women's
team.
Well,
I think with the standard of the competition too, I think we're seeing now the elite pathways are now set up. So the Oz Kickers now, I think we'll see, it's going to be a good 5-6 years before we see any real quality of depth of competition, but it'll be there. It'll come. Yeah. It's just the pathways are there now. So it's great for women.
And we should say, in fairness to Michelle Cowan, she didn't have any luck in running with injuries at Fremantle. She lost Kiara Bauer as one of her marquee players before a ball was kicked in anger in the first season. Kiara Bowers, to this point, has still not played an AFLW game for Fremantle because she had issues with the rehab from the knee construction. Juddy is Cara Dinello.
That's right, she is, yes.
Turbo. Kiara Bowers is Turbo.
Turbo and Juddy.
And they looked, Fremantle looked so much better when they got Kelly Gibson up and running right at the tail end of their season, and it was just another player in the team who had a good skill level and could share the ball with teammates. So I think no luck in running for Michelle Cowan, and her and the club parted company on I wouldn't say acrimonious, but on slightly tense terms, yep. I think, yep. towards the finish. Hopefully, Trent Cooper has better luck with his squad.
And good luck. Good luck to you, Trent. Hoping for a Freo premiership next year.
So Freo v Adelaide at Optus Stadium on Sunday, possibly wet weather and storms.
Okay, averaging 89 at Optus and 54 away Freo. Obviously no Fife this week. Sandy, I think we're pretty confident will return.
Look, I would still say Sandy's 50-50 based on what I saw at training yesterday, but you would be surprised if he doesn't get up after 2 weeks after a concussion. In yep. fact, if he was left out, you would think they're probably thinking, let's give the big fella a rest and then try and get him, you know, together for a solid 8 or 9 week run towards the end of the season.
Even if he plays, I'd like them to stick with Appenis this week. I'd like him to play. Really, the Adelaide are definitely gettable. They're half a side. You know, we could go on forever talking about, you know, Walker, Sloan, McGovern, Laird. And it's a real struggle for them inside 50. I think this is an accurate, fast venue. I'm going to tip Adelaide. This is a game. I just don't think they can afford to lose this game. They need a win. And yeah. I just think they need the win more than Freo.
I think Adelaide definitely needs to win because they need to stay in touch with yep. the eight. And obviously they slid out on percentage after last yep. week.
They've been pretty brave given what they've been up against.
I'm going to screw my guts up and I'm going to tip Freo. I'm nervous about it because obviously no Nathan Fyfe and they have no recent form to recommend them. I just think, as you say, the Crows are vulnerable and gettable at the moment. There's a hell of a lot of class missing from that team. That means there'll be some young players in. They haven't been to the venue before. Fremantle knows the venue well. They play the venue well. I get the feeling that, you know, the one team to beat Fremantle at this ground is North Melbourne. I get the feeling that if North Melbourne played the Crows at a neutral venue right now, North Melbourne would win and win quite comfortably. So I'm going to tip the Dockers
North's
to win.
North's a fair way ahead of Freo at the moment, though, I reckon.
Look, yeah. they are, but my argument would be that is North against the team that Adelaide are going to put out this weekend would be a fair way ahead of Adelaide. And yep. Adelaide are coming here to play Fremantle at Fremantle's home ground. I think the Dockers should be thinking they can win this.
Yep. Well, they should be, absolutely.
Yeah.
And finally, the match of the round. One of the matches of the year, something we've been looking forward to, Melbourne v Collingwood at the MCG. Back to the good old days. This was once a titanic struggle, not so much in recent years, but both in good form. Pies going for 3 in a row. Melbourne going for 7 in a row. Gorn v Grundy, just one. Of just a host of great little one-on-ones that we'll see on Monday. I think it's last Melbourne home game. It's been their home game. It's been a understanding between Collingwood and Melbourne to give them the rights to have this as the home game.
Yep.
I think it's going to rotate as from next year. But
so the feeling is that what you're telling me is it's basically been gifted to Melbourne because they've been struggling financially.
Exactly.
And now they're thinking that Melbourne should be entering into a golden period.
Yep.
So therefore... they should be able to row their side of the boat without being gifted home games like this.
Number one scoring side in the comp, Melbourne. And let's not forget round 23 last year. A lot to play for, Melbourne. I'm picking them.
Yeah, okay. I've got a lot of faith in Collingwood.
So have I. But they're flying. So are the D's.
And I'm probably going to pick Melbourne. In fact, I'm talking myself into it even as I'm speaking to you. Don't be surprised if the Pies get up here. This is a real credibility test for both clubs, isn't it, really? Because
it is.
We've seen Melbourne horsewhip a few vulnerable teams in the last two or three.
Haven't beaten a real, real quality side yet.
No, so this is a bit of a test for them. It's a bit of a test for Simon Goodwin as well.
Yep. Two super midfields up against each other too, and two very good forward lines in different ways. You've got the Hogan, McDonald, Melbourne forward line, really mobile, really tall. Yeah. And you've got that Collingwood forward line where all the third talls are just kicking goals from week to week. And like Hoskin Elliott last week with 6. So, you know, salivating over this game. It's going to be a ripper on Monday.
So the Pies could do a bit of damage when they get, you know, Elliott back in that team as well. Hoskin Elliott's playing really good footy.
Darcy Moore's still out too.
Darcy Moore's still out, so he would be an important in. I don't know where they would choose to use him because they were using him in defence at the start of the season.
I wouldn't put him in that forward line right now. I'd have him up the other end.
Well, Well, Hoskin Elliott gives them that marking target, doesn't he? He's that high 180s guy who can jump and take it in the air and play really strongly at ground level as well. So, yeah, I tend to agree with you. Tom Phillips' quarters is just absolutely
sensational
flying.
Yeah, he'd be all Australian right now, in my opinion. So would, on the other, for the Ds, you've got Clayton Oliver, who would also be all Australian and would figure highly in Brownlow calculations. He hasn't been rubbed out yet, has he?
Not that I remember.
No, he hasn't. No. And also, we should mention Brayshaw's form. 39 last week and just run into some beautiful form. So, a lot to like about it.
Spoke to, obviously, Angus's younger brother, Andrew, during the week. He's one of very few 18-year-olds from last year's draft to have played all 11 games and going very nicely for Fremantle. Had, even in the debris, I guess, that came out of the Collingwood game, he still had 19 possessions, laid four or five tackles, performing very steadily.
You wouldn't want to be the kid who lived next door who just jumps the fence for a game of footy against those kids, would you?
Well, there's also
you'd never get a kick.
There's also Hamish.
No, you just wouldn't get a kick.
You know, they reckon in Gemelling back in the old days when Josh Carr and Matt Carr used to have backyard footy matches, they said people would come and watch because it was so fierce and violent when the Carr brothers went at it in the backyard.
And who went and got the footy when it was over the fence?
Probably people threw it back because they wanted to see the game back on, I reckon.
Yeah, fair enough. So both going for the Ds?
Yeah, I'm going to stay with Melbourne. Yes, Lord Fauntleroy wouldn't have a bar of me if I... I would be not granted access to the Melbourne club, Glenn.
Exactly.
I
think
should I not tip them?
There'd be a few hyphenated names who'll be very happy on Monday afternoon. That's what I'm tipping. It'd be a nice slow walk back to the Melbourne club.
So would there be a lot of posters of Alex Neil Bullen amongst the Melbourne supporters?
He'd be the poster boy, of course. A good hyphen. That's what they need.
All right. So how'd you go last week?
I got 7. So I'll take that. I'm still, I'm not going to say, I picked Gold Coast to beat Geelong, so I was about 90 points out.
Yeah, me too.
But you know what? I'm still, the argument was solid for that tip. I was copying it this week from everyone, from your sports editor, Craig Nitsky, because I did change my tip too. But look, I'll stick with it. They beat them there last year. I just didn't think they'd turn their toes up as they did. Anyway. And the other one I missed was GWS. So, look, that's okay.
I think I'm with you. I think I was a 7 out of 9 and the same two games.
That was par last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people picked Port too, but I stuck with the Hawks last week, and that was 3 points. So.
Yeah, hard to tip against the Hawks down there. 22
it's great.
From 24 with
very
one,
solid record,
one defeat and one draw.
Mm.
All right, good luck with your tips this weekend. Good luck with supporting your team. If you have a different take on our State of Origin team to Alex Paul, then by all means send us that, and we'll
read them out next week.
We'll have a look to see if there's any we think we've legitimately missed on next Tuesday's show. I hope you tip well, I hope you barrack well, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday for Tab Touch.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.